Do you sense deep within that God is moving in our church in a greater way? That he is about, is already beginning to do incredible things amongst us. I have had a battle this week, both Ruth and I, but I know that there are others within our fellowship that are also in the midst of the battle. And I know that whenever God is going to do something incredible, then we face opposition. We're bound to. But we have the victory. I want to thank Lee for leading so sensitively. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Is that your cry? I want to read some words to you, familiar words from the book of Acts. And it's about the birth of the church. I'm looking for a start at Acts 2 and verse 14. I'm going to move about a bit. And of course, it's the day of Pentecost. It's when the Holy Spirit filled those, notice, who were waiting in obedience. They were obedient to the command of the Lord. And then we read, Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour." To me, that speaks of a vast amount. "I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike." That includes you, and that includes me. "And they will prophesy." And then Peter goes on to say, "But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And we read, those who believed Peter, what they heard, what he said, they were baptized. And that very day, 3,000 people were added to the church. No wonder we read, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Let's move over to Acts 3. You know the story again. The healing of the crippled man. Peter and John looked at him intently. We read in verse 4. And Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them, eagerly expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you." And it struck me, the next words that he said, "But I'll give you what I have. I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. He jumped up. He stood to his feet. He began to walk, and then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Let's move on to Acts 4. Peter and John had been arrested, and they stood before the council of the religious leaders, and then they were released. They were told no longer to preach in the name of Jesus. And it says they returned to the believers and they prayed. Adam's talked about the prayer meetings. Get there. They prayed. Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand in healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And listen to this. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God. How? With boldness. This is the church. How do we compare? I was surprised. It's over 10 years ago. But I want to read to you a BBC News Channel report. It's for Tuesday, the 26th of June, 2007. And it says this. Hundreds of people have fled their homes, you probably can remember it, in three villages in South Yorkshire, amid fears that a dam is about to burst after torrential rain. Engineers are trying to reinforce the wall holding back the Ully Reservoir at a place near Rotherham because cracks have appeared. About 100 homes in the villages of Catcliffe, Whiston and Canclow were cleared by police officers overnight after engineers signalled a warning over the dam. The dam wall of this 35-acre reservoir. Fire crews are pumping out water in a bid to ease the pressure on the dam. The M1 motorway has been closed between junction 32 and 36 because it would flood if the dam burst. South Yorkshire's Chief Constable, Meredith Hughes, said, "It's not just the fact that the dam might break and a wall of water rush to the motorway. It's also the fact that that water may take out a couple of pylons that are carrying 270,000 volts of power." Asked about the chances of the dam bursting, Chief Inspector Matthew Dukes of South Yorkshire Police said, "It's pretty difficult to tell at the moment, to be absolutely frank." That was a report. Do you believe that God is speaking to us? And speaking to us through his written word, but also through words of prophecy? We've heard again from Andy this morning. At the AGM, Andy brought amazing words that he believed God had said to this church. I've picked up on one of those things, and it's not left me. And this is what And he said that God had said to him, the Spirit of God is going to move manifestly. The Spirit of God is going to move manifestly. Look the word manifest or manifestly up, and it means that which is readily perceived, that which is evident, that which is obvious or apparent. It's beyond doubt or question. And then Andy said, we are going to see the dam break soon. And God's power is going to flow. We, you and I, are going to lose control. I want to talk about the breaking of the dam. As Lee started leading the meeting this morning, his first words were, let's raise our expectations. How much has God said to us over recent months about being an expectant people, being in that state of looking forward, recognizing that the future is going to be good? A realization in advance, a foretaste. But you know, while the Lord has already emphasized to us that we should be an expectant people, we've got to move beyond expectation. We've got to move to receiving, to experiencing the flow of God's Spirit. If we don't move beyond that, then we're going to miss what God has got for this church. And I long to receive all that God has got for me and has got for you and this church. I wonder, what's your interpretation of the dam and of its breaking? How do you picture it? What do you see? What do you envisage? Do you believe that God is going to break through in mighty power? That by his Spirit, this fellowship will know tremendous salvation, awesome healing, amazing deliverance, and transformation in lives in ways that you and I have only dared to dream about? That's certainly how we've been praying. But what about the challenges? What about the changes? What about the disruption and the sheer hard work that new birth brings, especially multiple births? You've only got to ask Andy and Catherine. They'll tell you. It can be messy. It can be noisy. It can be disruptive. It can be exhausting. The beginning of the new year, my niece, Emma, Steve, and the family came to visit. They came one afternoon to see Ruth and I. They've got twin boys who are coming up to 3 months. The tranquility of our home was shattered as these two very hungry babies arrived, and in unison they loudly let everyone know they wanted feeding and changing. For a brief time, Ruth and I got a glimpse of the impact multiple birth has on a family. Can you picture Ruth and I sitting side by side on the settee? Ruth with a feeding bottle, me the same. It's a bit like cycling. You never lose the skill, do you? Steve said to me, you've got the one that's the sickly one. True to form, It always amazes me how one so tiny can produce so much in such a short space of time that can cover you and everything else. And even though you're wearing something protective, somehow you still get covered. You see, multiple births, and I'm praying for that, are you? Multiple births are going to bring challenge, are going to bring disruption. Think back when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Yes, the disciples were transformed. They became bold in their witness where they'd hidden away for fear, in fear. Yes, thousands were born again. And that brought tremendous change and challenge. But there were others who rejected the message. There were those who ridiculed them and who said that they were drunk. Are you and I, is this fellowship prepared to face the challenges and the ridicule that lie ahead? Because it will be. It'll be there. Remember, when a tsunami comes, it always changes the landscape. What about the structure of the dam? You're all intelligent enough, I'm sure, to know what a dam is. It's a barrier that's it's built to obstruct the flow of water. It's usually built of earth or masonry. It's built across a stream or a river. Of course, it can also be the body of water that's held by the wall. Dam walls can be constructed of concrete, but the vast majority of them, in fact, I understand that some of these earth and rock dams are the biggest man-made structures in this world. Will you notice that the vast majority are built of earth and of rock? As I thought about the fact that they restrict or obstruct the flow, I'm reminded of the fact of where you and I come from the earth. In Genesis 2, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed his breath into man's nostrils. Man became a living person. And then we had the fall, when sin entered the world, and men and women have created barriers to obstruct the flow of God's Spirit ever since. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, can't say it, calling people to repent, to receive forgiveness of their sins. And he declared that then they would receive the Holy Spirit. Repentance is not a popular word. Not one that we hear all too often. I'd written those words, and the following Sunday morning, what did Adam do? But he preached very forcibly on repentance. What's repentance? It's turning away from sin. It's turning to God. Acts 3, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And then the following bit, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love what the Amplified Version says there. It says, so repent. Change your inner self, your old ways of thinking. Regret past sins and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life so that your sins may be wiped out, blotted out, completely erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And it says, and this is lovely, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. But who was Peter speaking to about repentance? He was talking to his fellow Israelites, the people of God. I think we all need to hear this. Repentance begins first with God's people. And then the times of refreshing will come from his presence. Those outside of the kingdom of God will only repent when we within the church truly repent. Who breaks the dam? Is it God who breaks the dam? Is it you and I? Or is it both? If we turn again to Peter's words there in Acts 2, you know very well, he's quoting from Joel 2, referring to God's promise to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And if we look at the context there in Joel of those actual words, obviously we read, God pours out. So yes, it's God who breaks through. He's the one who pours. But if you look closely at Joel, you'll notice that Joel there, under God, is predicting the coming of terrible judgment. And it's judgment upon God's people. Why? Because of their sin. Through Joel, the Lord calls his people to return to him, to give their hearts to him. For he declares, is merciful, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, and he's filled with unfailing love. And then the Holy Spirit is released. So there's a sense in which you and I, the people of God, bring the breakthrough. How? Well, it's as we surrender our hearts and our lives to God and we truly return to him. I began to think about the limitations that I place on God. Maybe you place on him as well. Calderdale is in West Yorkshire. And on Boxing Day 2015, the town of Hebden Bridge was severely flooded. Homes and businesses there were severely damaged. To prevent the repeat of the flooding, groups of volunteers got together. They're still at work now. And they're creating what they've called leaky dams. And they go out to the streams and waterways that lead into the River Calder, and they place across them branches from trees, small trees themselves, and they're doing it wherever they can, and it's creating these leaky dams. It allows water to pass, but it restricts the flow. It slows it down. And that's very commendable. And they're trusting that they won't suffer the severe flooding that's occurred previously. But I thought about, what do we do to restrict the flow of God's Spirit? Two things came to my mind. The first one we've already emphasized, and that is sin that has not been dealt with. That will restrict or even stop the flow of God. So it's vital that we repent. So sinful lives limit God's flow. But what else? Another thing that the Lord has been emphasizing to us, I've referred to it already, is our low expectations. I came across a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 64, verse 3, and it says this: "When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations." And it says, "Oh, how the mountains quaked." It struck me that when God's Spirit moves, buildings shake. When God's Spirit moves, mountains quake. I want to see the buildings move. I want to see the mountains quake. Surely, one of the reasons for my low expectations, and probably for your low expectation, is that we fail to recognize the greatness, the glory, and the majesty of God. He is not just mighty, he's the Almighty. He's the Lord of the impossible. I looked at some of the occasions where we come across impossible. Christmas is not so far away. When Gabriel announced to Mary that she was to give birth to God's Son, do you know what the final words, Gabriel's final parting words with Mary were? "With God, nothing is impossible." Nothing is impossible. She'd heard that her cousin Elizabeth, who was elderly, was expecting a child. An amazing miracle. Nothing is impossible with God. But that pales into insignificance compared to what God was about to do in and through the life of Mary. She was to carry and give birth to the sinless, spotless Son of God, who was to become and is the Saviour of our world. Jesus himself used almost the same words as Gabriel. Do you remember the occasion when a rich young man left Jesus' presence in sorrow? And Jesus turned to the disciples and he said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. I'll say it again, so it's important. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and he said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible." Salvation, humanly impossible, made possible through Jesus Christ. I know it's easy for me to say this, and I have the same struggles and battles that you face. But all the impossibilities that I face, that you face, can become possible in and through Jesus Christ. What are the results of the dam breaking? A broken dam, to me, suggests a great surge of water which radically transforms wherever it flows. Remember the tsunami? It changes the landscape. I want to just change the analogy of the Holy Spirit's moving for a moment from a great surge of water to that of a fire. I can't seem to get away from or escape from the fact that when the Holy Spirit moves and moves in power, lives are radically changed. You and I face refining. If we are to move deeper, if we are to climb higher, we're going to experience the refining fire of God. When Jeremiah was speaking, he said, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will refine and test them. What else can I do because of the sin of my people?" Or turn to Zechariah. "I will bring," this is where God had dealt with his people, and he'd removed 2/3 of them. And now he was talking about the third that remained. "I will bring them through the fire. I will refine them as silver's refined. I will try them as gold is tried. They will call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, 'This is my people,' and that they will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" Or in Malachi, talking about God, "He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites," those particularly set apart as priests and servers. "I will refine them like gold and silver, so that once again they will offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord." If we are to offer acceptable sacrifices to God, the sacrifices of our praise, then we've got to be right. We've got to be pure. You see, a move of God is costly. There's a song we used to sing, "Refine as fire, purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver, refine as fire. My heart's desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will." It's been referred to already in the meeting. And it was interesting, a few of us were talking before the meeting started about God's timing and saying, "Why, Lord? Why don't you do it now?" Are you facing situations and you're saying, "Why, Lord? Why am I waiting? What's the problem? Are you listening?" Ecclesiastes 3, you know it. There's a time for the breakdown. To everything, there's a season. A time to pursue everything under heaven. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. But it also says there's a time to break down. When will the dam break? I think it was Rachel, when she was speaking the other Sunday, said words to this effect: "I'm tired of hearing about God going to move. I want the move. I want the breakthrough. I want it now." And that's a wonderful aspiration, a tremendous longing. When will the dam break? I believe it will break when you and I fulfill the conditions. And then there will be no holding back of the floodwaters. My two youngest granddaughters came for the new year, Hannah and Sarah, and they're a sheer delight. They love to run about in our bungalow, charge around, having a whale of a time. As all good husbands, I was busy in the kitchen, and I overheard them playing. And they were playing hide and seek. Sarah, doing as older sister had told her, went off to hide. And then I heard Hannah shout, "Coming, ready or not?" And it struck me. I thought, will I be ready when the Holy Spirit comes in power? He's promised to come. I will pour out my Spirit, God declares. I want to be ready. I want to be in the center of the flow of God, right in the middle of all that God is doing. He's coming. Am I ready? Are you ready or not? I don't want to miss out. What about you? New Year's Day, I read a prophecy given to another church in Britain. I want to share this with you. Remember, it's to another group of Christians. But I believe God is beginning to move his church. I believe what he's saying to you and I, he's saying across this land. And this is the word I want to read to you. There's so much in it that I feel is in line with what God is saying to us. The Spirit of the Lord says to you, I have ended not just a moment or a season, but I have brought an era to its end and set a new era in motion. For this is the hour of the glorious advance of my church, that includes you. This is the time of moving as an army and loving as a family. That's the togetherness. Of glory and of advance and of triumph around every corner. In this time, I am not calling you to shrink back or to sit down. Instead, I am calling you to arise from the place of preparation and to move forward using the gifts and abilities I've already equipped you with. For I am mobilizing my church. That means I am mobilizing you. And what I set in motion, not scheme of hell or man can halt. In these coming days, you will know emotional wholeness and physical healing. As you cross over into this new year, you are coming to a greater level of the manifestations of my Spirit in your life. Signs, wonder, and miracles will flow from you, and you won't be able to help yourself. That was part of what Andy said. We'll lose control. You won't be able to help yourself from expressing my kingdom come. You will know possession of territory, new houses and flats, premises for your business or organization, deals that have been in the pipeline for far too long, dreams that you have always remained dreams will now become a reality to you. And you'll see them outwork. But most dramatically, you will know mobilization as I move through you at a level you've not even dreamed of. I'm mobilizing you. I am pushing you through your door. I am setting in motion the glorious advance of my church. That's you. Haggai 2:9. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Shall we pray? Spirit, break out. Break down our walls. Move in awesome, awesome ways, Spirit of the living God. Lord, we're desperate for your moving. We hunger and long for so much of your presence, of your power, of your glory. Lord, we don't want to be people who play at church, but we want to be those who move in you and in all that you have got for each and every one of us. Lord, may we be a truly repentant people, a people who are pure and righteous before you, so that there is nothing that will hinder all that you have for each individual life, but for us as a fellowship, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks.